May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 511. In all my troubles and distress, the Lord my soul does own. Jehovah does my griefs redress and make his mercy known. Hymn 511. Our reading from God's holy word is from Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau: Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban, and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and herds, and the camels, into two bands. And said, If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, Pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. And behold, also he is behind us. And so commanded he the second, and the third, and all that followed the drove, saying, On this manner shall ye speak unto Esau, when ye find him. And say ye moreover, Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night, and took his two wives, and his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them, and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day. Because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Amen. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most holy and eternal Lord God, thou who art the God of heaven and of earth, and art greatly to be feared. Oh, we do seek thee, Lord, as we gather this evening for thy sweet and sacred presence to be with us. We might prove what the hymn writer said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. And O Lord, we would come with the desire of those Greeks of old when they came to Philip and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And O, we pray, dear Lord, thou wilt remove from us all distracting thoughts and cares, and that our hearts and our affections may be set on things above. Oh, do draw us away from the things of time and of this world. One said, from busy scenes we would retreat. And oh, we do seek, dear Lord, that thou wilt favour us to hear thy voice. Oh, that thou wilt speak thy precious word into our souls, that it may be made life and power to us, that it may be food to the hungry, and a drink to the thirsty. And O Lord, may there be found in us that real appetite for the truth, For thou hast said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And oh, we pray that there may be those crumbs from the Master's table, Lord. Oh, if it would please thee, do bring us into the banqueting house, and thy banner over us be love. Lord, we would come pleading the precious name and precious blood and glorious merits of the Lord Jesus. Now that name that the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. Oh, we would come, Lord, begging for mercy, pleading to be washed in thy precious blood, to be cleansed from all our sin and from all uncleanness. Oh, we would venture like the dear hymn writer when he said, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. And oh, Lord, how we need that washing and cleansing from all sin and from all uncleanness. I pray that thou wilt clothe us with thy glorious righteousness, and oh, that we might be favoured with a sweet and sacred sense of that peace that passeth all understanding in our soul. We might know more and more what the hymn writer said, this glorious man, thy peace shall be. We especially pray for those that are troubled tonight, Lord. Many are the troubles of thy dear people. And thou hast promised, I will be with him in trouble and will deliver him. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt hear the cries, the groans, the sighs of thy troubled people. Thou wilt send down those answers of peace. Lord, thou knowest those in soul trouble, those in troubles of providence and of circumstance, those troubled in their families. Lord, those troubles of Zion and of this nation. Oh, we pray they would undertake. Thou didst say, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. We pray thou wilt then appear and make bare thine arm as thou didst for Jacob of old. O Lord, do help us to pray one for another and to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do send thy quickening spirit down, Lord, thou knowest how we need thee to quicken yet many souls, if it would please thee, and make them cry, Jesus, save me, or I die. May there be a bringing back of prodigals, Lord, and those that have forsaken thy cause, those that have gone their own way. May there yet be a blessed returning. Many, Lord, begin to be in want. And oh, do quicken each one of us, Lord. We need thee to keep our souls alive. We cannot keep our own souls alive, Lord, but thou alone canst make us to live. We pray to have that real religion that's more than notion, that which thou art the author and the finisher of. Oh, do perform thy blessed promises, bring them to fruition, Lord, in thy time, we pray. Oh, do bring to fruition the exercises of our hearts that are real. But Lord, do dry up all that that's only flesh. Oh, do help those that Satan is attacking and buffeting. And know it's the continual onslaughts, Lord, of the adversary. We pray thou wilt cast him out and set thy people at liberty. May there be those loose, Lord, from his power, and loose from the power of sin, and loose from all the bondage, Lord, of the law and of unbelief. Oh, that thou wouldst loose thy people and let them go. May there be many, Lord, filled with the love of Christ, that they might run in thy ways and keep thy precepts. Bless the dear children, the dear young people. Hear the prayers continually of dear parents and those that pray for them, Lord, that thou wilt keep them from this world and all its attractions, all its snares. And keep them, Lord, from just a carnal religion. Bless them with that which is of thee. They may be saved by thy grace, and may we each. And Lord, we pray there may be those like Ruth of old to cleave to thy people and cleave to thy truth and cleave to the old paths and cleave to thee, dear Lord, and to thy house. Oh, that thou wouldst work. Bless the Sabbath school and those that teach in it. And may they have those sweet encouragements from time to time. And may thy word be as bread cast upon the waters and seen after many days. And O Lord, we pray for those that are bereaved. Do bless the dear family here and their great loss, Lord, and the many in Zion that have suffered loss of late, and the widows and the widowers. Oh, do comfort all that mourn. And Lord, may the death of one and another be the life of many, that many may be born again. Lord, do sanctify all thy dealings to us, and sanctify all the trials of the journey. And may there be that for our soul's profit and for thy eternal praise. I do remember those in affliction, Lord. We think of many laid aside. We think particularly of our dear friend in the hospital in Taunton, that thou wilt be with him. Lord, do guide and direct and give wisdom to the physicians and surgeons to know what to do in his case, Lord. And, oh, we pray that the means may be owned and blessed if it would please. And he may be restored once again and spared to his dear wife and family and to each one. And, oh, Lord, do hear the cries of all thy afflicted people. And if it would please thee, send that needed healing. But if it's thy will, Lord, that affliction should abound, we do seek for grace to bear it. No, may we be led a little into the afflictions thou didst endure. For thou hast said, in all their afflictions he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them all the days of old. Lord, do bless thy dear servants, and grant them gracious liberty as they preach thy word. Lord, do use them to thy honour and to thy glory. And for the pulling down of the strongholds of sin and Satan, for the building up of thy blessed work. And, O Lord, may it please thee to bless the church and congregation here. Oh, may there be those times of sweet refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And may the church be increased with godly souls, if it would please thee. And may it be so in our own flock and in Zion too. We pray for a gracious revival, if it be thy holy will. And, O Lord, do remember our own flock as they gather for prayer this evening. We pray that thou wouldst be in the midst, and may it be a time of real wrestling prayer, and may there be those sweet answers sent down. You look upon all thy people throughout the earth, especially those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, those, Lord, that in earthquake disasters like in New Zealand, Lord, do sanctify these things. May thy voice be heard in them all. Remember those in the war-stricken lands, Lord. We pray thou wilt watch over and preserve thy people wherever they be. And, Lord, do hear the cries that go forth, even those from the ends of the earth. And, oh, do remember our own nation here, Lord, in all its wickedness and sin. We beg of thee to turn us from serving Satan, Lord, and serving ourselves, and serving many in the flesh, Lord. But, oh, do come and bring us to confess our national sins and to weep over the sins of our nation, and may we be given that real repentance. May once again righteousness rule and reign in this land, and all the laws, Lord, that are so contrary to thee and thy word be overthrown, rooted out, Lord. And our leaders brought to consider their own standing, and consider the solemn standing of this nation. Lord, bring them to look to thee, to turn to thee, and to beg for thy appearing, and that thou wilt turn us to thyself. O Lord, do help us to praise thee for all thy many, many mercies, the goodness of providence, the goodness of grace. We would love and praise thee more, and crown thee, Lord, of all for all thy favours, unworthy as we are, Lord, as we have read, of dear old Jacob, how he fell. And, oh, we pray that we may be brought to feel the same. For I am not worthy of the least of the Lord's mercy or of his truth. Do anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. Grant that gracious help, Lord, strength for this hour, the sweet liberty of the Spirit, and apply thy word with divine power. Lord, who help us to sing thy praises from our hearts, and who help the deacons in the burdens they have and the responsibilities, and bless the hymns they give out for thy honour and thy glory, and that the sacred truths we sing may be made life and power to us. Forgive now what we've uttered amiss. Grant a real spirit of hearing. Empty, send us not away, as we seek to fall into thy kind arms. Sink or swim, we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 616. Precious Jesus, must it be? Is it thy all-wise decree that afflictions must attend Zion to her journey's end? Hymn 616.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the book of Genesis, chapter 39, and the first part of verse 6. The book of Genesis, chapter 39, and the first part of the sixth verse. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. The book of Genesis, chapter 39, and verse 6, the first part. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. This is what the Holy Spirit has sweetly left on record concerning Potiphar. Because Joseph had been sold down into Egypt, and he was to be brought into the house of Potiphar. He was not there by chance. This was all part of the purposes of heaven. And as soon as Joseph arrived in the house of Potiphar, we find that Potiphar observed some wonderful things. Firstly, he observed that the Lord was with Joseph. Blessed observation when we can see the Lord is with his dear people. And secondly, everything that Joseph touched in the house of Potiphar was to prosper. And we read, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And then too, Joseph had in him wonderful grace. We read, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. But then we find, of course, as we read through this same chapter, that what a time of great temptation it was to Joseph, but how wonderfully the Lord kept him. But what I want to help this evening is particularly to look at this, which is recorded, what Potiphar was unable to do. Now, we are not told whether there was any grace or humility in Potiphar, but what we are told here is what he did. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Now, of course, there's a far greater meaning than just the natural Joseph. Joseph was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. There were so many illustrations throughout the life of Joseph that are so typical of the dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus himself. And here we have this beautiful illustration of it. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Well, may the Holy Spirit help us to look into it a little. First of all, Where are we leaving the things that concern us? You see, it is one thing for us to say that we are leaving it in the Lord's hand, but it's another thing to do it. Dear Mr. Windridge used to say that we say we commit our way to the Lord, but he said we don't leave it with him, we bring it away with us. You know, when at a funeral that we commit the mortal remains of the person taken to Mother Earth, we commit the coffin there, and that is where it is to be left until the resurrection morn. It's committed. It's left there. Now, what instruction there is here concerning Potiphar's house, he could leave it all. Everything in the house. Everything that concerned him. In Joseph's hand. And that's a blessed place to be brought, where we can leave it in the heavenly Joseph's hand. You see, with Potiphar, he was brought to realize this, that in leaving it in Joseph's hand, he was leaving it in far better hands than his own. And as we are given grace, we need to leave all that we have in better hands than ours. Because our hands, if we try and do this or try and do that, we may do it with the best intentions. But everything we touch is contaminated by sin. The hymn writer says, doesn't he, our best is stained and dyed with sin, and our all is nothing worth. And you know, sin leaves its mark. But in leaving it in Joseph's hand, the heavenly Joseph's hand, there are hands that are pure, perfect, and have great power. You may have wondered why we read together, and it caused me much exercise, what we should read together this evening and throughout today, but that chapter seemed so laid upon me. Concerning dear old Jacob, you know, it was a time of great testing for Jacob, a time of great trial, and yet it was to prove a time of great blessing. And he had to come to the place, and it may be we have each got to come to the place, and we will if we truly fear the Lord, where we shall have to leave all that we have in Joseph's hand, the heavenly Joseph. But you look how, and I feel I must name this, and I want to be led into this. I think particularly of dear old Jacob, you know. He had to come low enough to leave it all, didn't he? The flesh doesn't like it. But there's a few lessons we have to learn through that wonderful case of Jacob. First of all, when he knew that Esau had come against him with those 400 men, he didn't sit at home and say, well, I can't do anything, as many would in a fatalistic way, and say, well, I'll leave it in the hands of the Lord. I cannot begin to go against 400 men of Esau. He didn't do that, did he? He did all that he could to appease his brother. But Jacob had to come to this, where Jacob's had and couldn't cope with it all. And he may be in something you're in tonight where your hands and my hands can't cope with it. How could he stand against such a great army and such a time of testing? But you see, he had to come low enough. Dear Mr. Mulvey used to often say when he was preaching, "Are we low enough for Christ?" And you know, Jacob had to come very low. He had to come to the place where he was alone. No man stood with him. The Apostle Paul, I tried to preach from it the other day, where he said, "I stood and no man stood with me." He was alone. And really, you know, that is exactly where the dear Saviour came in the Garden of Gethsemane. The disciples forsook him and fled. He was alone. The hymn writer said, "It is decreed that most should walk the darkest paths alone." Now Jacob had to come low enough to leave it all. His brother, his anger, the 400 men that were against him. But you look how in the hand of Jacob, he couldn't deal with them, but he left it in the hand of one that could. And that was the Lord. And you look how the Lord did it. He didn't need any help from Jacob to do it. The professors of religion say today, "Well, you've got to do this to help the Lord's work." You see, the Lord will do everything for his dear people. And he did it for Jacob, didn't he? And you look how he had to wrestle with the Lord. The Lord first, of course, wrestled with him. And what does he say? The Lord said, "Let me go, for the day breaking." But what did Jacob say? "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." I love the couplet of the hymn where the hymn writer said, "Mine's an urgent, pressing case." You think of Jacob's, it was, wasn't it? And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and you know that's where Jacob had to come. And you look how the Lord blessed him there when he left it all. And when the Lord really comes and blesses us, we can leave everything, come, in his hand. Think of that sweet couplet of the hymn, and might be applied to us here this evening. "He has engaged to manage all by the way and to the end." Now, when we think too of another case where we find this, and it's so with me, so I will name it. We think of these hands, you see. I don't know why, it's been resting upon me all day. You know, our hands are often weak, aren't they? But you see, the Lord's hands are never weakened. Oh no. We hear people often say, and my wife often says, "Well, can you open this jar or do this because my hands are too weak?" And the older we get, the weaker our hands become. And, you know, the Lord teaches his people this, that how weak their hands are when they try to do this or that. But you see, with the Lord, and with Joseph here, you see, Potiphar realized that in leaving it in Joseph's hands, he was leaving it in the hands of power. We read, didn't we? I think it was last evening. Once have I heard this, yea, twice, that power belongeth unto God. And what a mercy it is. The Lord's hands have all power. Now you think of Jacob. The Lord manifested his power over those 400 men. He manifested his power and turning the sorrow that Jacob was in into joy. We're blessing him there. And in leaving it in the Lord's hands, you're leaving it in one who has all power, you see. The illustration I was going to use was this. You go to the New Testament and you think of the multitude that had gathered to hear the Saviour. And in the evening, they were weary, and the disciples wanted to send them away. 5,000 men, plus women and children. And the Saviour didn't want to send them away, did he? He said that they should feed them. And what had they got? 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Now the disciples immediately questioned, how could they feed such a great multitude? And you see, in the disciples' hands, they couldn't begin to feed them, could they? And you may think what you're in this evening, Lord, how can we begin to deal with this, or that our hands are so weak? We're poor, weak sinners. But you know, those dear disciples had to prove this. They had to leave it in the Lord's. He says, bring them hither to me. And immediately he bowed his head and prayed and gave thanks unto God for that which was provided. And he took of the loaves and the fishes and divided them and gave them to the multitude. And what was all those basketfuls left over? The hand of God. The power of God. I remember my late great uncle as pastor of Blackboys. My grandfather told me that at the time, I think he had 10 children at the time, and they were very poor. And one day, all they'd got was a part of a loaf of bread to feed these 10 children. And she said, his dear wife said to her husband, well, once this is gone, she said, and I know it won't feed them, but it will satisfy them a little. But she cut the loaf, and she said, I kept cutting it, and they fed and were all filled. She said, if ever I prove what they did in feeding those 5,000 men and plus women and children, she said, I did that night. There was that even to spare. And, you know, it's very humbling when we see the Lord's hand working. And then we would think too of our sins within us. You know, no man has power to remove one sin. But you know, the Lord takes his dear people in his hand and he'll wash them and cleanse them of all sin. There's a blessed power, you know, in the precious blood of Jesus. And when the Lord is pleased in his hands to apply that precious blood, that can remove every particle of stain and guilt and sin. You know, they questioned, didn't they, the dear Lord Jesus, when they let down through the tiling those four that carried him, that man sick of the palsy. The Pharisees and enemies of Christ questioned him because he said to the man sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And they immediately questioned how he could forgive the sins of that man. And what did he say to them? Whether it's easier to say, "Take up thy sins be forgiven thee," or "Take up thy bed and walk." And you see, the Lord manifested his power. And I can't get away from this evening. You see, in the Lord's hand, there's all power. But as we think of these hands of the Lord and all power, let us go a step further. You know, the Lord blesses his dear people not only with hands naturally, but he blesses them with the hands of faith. And the hands of faith, you know, are often weak, aren't they? I leave the other with you, but I look within my own heart and how often I mourn because of the faith there is that seems so weak in me. And those hands of faith that seem so weak. But you know, the Lord can strengthen the hands of faith in a moment. He gives the hands of faith and he will strengthen those hands of faith. We have a beautiful illustration, of course, in the case of the dear woman with the issue of blood. He gave her that faith to believe if she could but touch the border of his garment, she'd be made whole. And you know, not only did she touch naturally the Saviour and his precious garment, but she touched spiritually. The Lord strengthened her faith. And you see, that faith pressed through the crowd, all that was against her. And she could but touch. And she believed if she could but touch, and she'd be made whole. And you know, that healing that he gave her was a twofold healing. It's a wonderful when he heals our bodies or our minds. But what a mercy when he heals our souls. And I often think of what the Lord said to that dear woman when he said, "Somebody hath touched me." And she tremblingly came to him and declared to him all that she was in and what concerned her. And what do we read? He said to her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And how did he send her away? "Go in peace," which meant all her sin was forgiven. She not only needed healing of body, the healing she knew was in her own soul too. Yet you think how weak she was naturally, and yet how she believed that if she could but touch. It's a sweet couplet in the hymn, isn't it? "One touch from thee will make me whole." She had to leave it all. The doctors couldn't help her, could they? She tried them for 12 years, she hadn't sat at home and said, "Well, I'm too bad, I can't do anything." She tried all the means. And sometimes, you know, the Lord uses the means. You know, it's a wonderful thing. All the means are in the Lord's hand. Oh, they are. It came to me while I was sitting in the vestry just before the service thinking of this text. What dear Mr. Shaw told me on one occasion. Of course, I remember he was pastor at Nottingham, and while he was pastor at Nottingham, he had to go into hospital for a very serious operation. And they knew the only way to spare his life was to do this major operation. And the doctors discussed it all with him. Now, the doctor that he had knew Mr. Shaw quite well and knew that he was a man that had faith, that believed in his God. And after the consultation regarding this operation, the day came when it was arranged when he should go into the hospital to have it done. And just prior to the operation, going down into the operating theatre, the surgeon, he said to Mr. Shaw, now he said, I will do all naturally in my power to perform the operation as far as I have wisdom and strength and knowledge to do it. But he said, I realise this. I'm not my own. He said, you know, there's one who has far greater power than I have. He said, I have, and the Lord has given me a wonderful measure of knowledge to understand how to perform this. But, he said, the issue is with the Lord. And he said, as we go into that operating theatre, he said, you're in the hands of the Lord and so am I. We're not our own. And you know, I've often thought about that, you know. What a wonderful thing to feel that we're in the Lord's hand and not our own. It's a solemn thing if we're just in our own hand. Because if we are, we bring ourselves into bondage, we bring ourselves into darkness, we so often can grieve the Lord. But in his hands, and you think of Potiphar's house, you see, everything was in the hands of Joseph. And there may be those things you're in this evening, and I say it lovingly tonight, in your soul, you say, Lord, these things are so great to me, I cannot begin in my poor way even to pray. I want to be in thy hands even to pray, that I might ask for those things that are in accordance with the holy mind and will of the Lord. You know, it's easy to pray to suit ourselves or suit our situation. But you know, so often I come to this, Lord, not only teach me how to pray, but help me to ask for that which is according to thy will we should ask for. And to ask in faith, nothing wavering. But then, think of your pathway in providence. We'll begin with it in providence. Because what does the hymn writer say? He holds all nature in his hand, that gracious hand on which I live. And what a mercy when we can see the Lord's hand even in the steps of providence. And those hands that have all power. A friend of mine, I believe, is now in heaven down in Suffolk, but many years ago, when he had a lot of pigs and they had a lot of disease among them. And he said, you know, it looked as though he was at the end of his business and everything was going to come to nothing. And he went to hear dear Mr. Caudle preach, and during the discourse, Mr. Caudle spoke about Joseph And when the word of the Lord came, it tried him. And dear Mr. Caudle, in his way, as some of you remember to hear him, he was so quaint in some of the things he said. He said, friends, when the Lord ordains to deliver his dear people, he can turn the world upside down to deliver them. And you know, that dear man, in all his business, he said, I saw the Lord, as he said, I sat in that chapel as Mr. Caudle preached, and he said, I could see by faith the Lord could turn it all upside down to deliver me. And that's exactly what happened. And that's a wonderful thing, you see, in the Lord's hand. You think of, you think of Joseph. Firstly, in Potiphar's house here, and he, though he's a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus, he's a beautiful type of the child of God in the experiences they have to walk through. And you think of him in Potiphar's house, in this bitter temptation. Now, in the Lord's hand, Joseph was wonderfully kept, and we need keeping every moment. All we do. In our thoughts, in our hearts, in our steps, in all that concerns us. And it, the hands of the Lord kept Joseph. Oh, it did. Those hands did. And it's only he that can keep us. But then you think of it, you know, all the purposes of heaven were in it, really. And you think how he had to come into Potiphar's house and enter that deep temptation. It was all in the hands of his God to be brought into the prison. And there in the prison the Lord prospered him. Oh, he did. And the Lord was with him. And you look how he wasn't to come out of that prison until God's time came. Wonderful thing. Not only feel we're in the Lord's hand and everything that concerns us in his hand, but there was the time was in his hand. God's time. You think of after he'd interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker and the every particle, what they dreamed, Joseph was to interpret it. And it wasn't Joseph himself that was doing it, it was the Lord. What do we read? God is his own interpreter and he will make it plain. Now there may be things you're in tonight. You need this blessed interpreter. Leave it in the hands of Joseph. You see, he was the interpreter. In the hands of God. What did he say? Interpretations belong unto God. And then, of course, he had to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh, didn't he? But he had to stay there a further 2 years. A whole 2 years, not part of it. Look at the timing. There's no doubt when they had promised him they would, or he observed that they were going to set him or speak well of him so he could be set free, but no. A further 2 years there in the prison. And in that time the Lord was to manifest his hands, his power to deliver Joseph. And to bring him into Pharaoh's palace. And of course he interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh and those barren years, seven, and then there were to be the years of plenty, wasn't it? The years of plenty. And you think We read further on, in those years of plenty, Joseph didn't squander the plenty that he had, did he? That was in the land of Egypt, in all those years of prosperity and increase. What did he do? And you know, it's been a lesson to me on many occasions. He stored it in the storehouses of Egypt for the day of adversity. In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. Joseph, he kept it all in those storehouses against the day of adversity. You know, if the Lord really, you can look at it spiritually, and I hope I've been enabled a few times, you know, when the Lord really blesses us, it's a wonderful thing as grace and help is given to keep it against the day of adversity. Oh, it is. The day was going to come where they would need everything in Egypt for that famine. It was all in the hand of God. But what I wanted to come to was this. What do we find? In the day of famine, when they all came to Pharaoh, what should they do in it all? What did he say to them? Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you do. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you do. In Joseph's hand, he could give out of all what was in those storehouses of Egypt. It was all in his hand. And so it is the heavenly Joseph, you see. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. Now, not only in providence, but in your family, in your concerns, in your exercises. It stands out so much to me this evening. He left all that he had, not some of it. Don't go home tonight and think, well, this part I'll try and deal with and something else I'll try and deal with and I'll leave the rest with the Lord. He didn't say that, did he? He left all that he had. That meant everything concerning his and concerning our souls, concerning our pathways, concerning our providential trials, concerning our afflictions, concerning our families, concerning the Church of God, all that he had, not some of it. And as I say this, I think of it in the small things as well as the great. You know, the old preachers used to say, you leave the small things in the Lord's hand and he will appear in the great things. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, when the small things we think we can manage ourselves, don't we? But you know, it's wonderful to watch the Lord's hand, his power, in those small things as much as in the great. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, the heavenly Joseph. And then we think of the great day of death. Oh, to leave our souls in his hand for that great day. No better hands could we leave them in. Those hands that healed the sick. Those hands that cured so many in affliction. Those hands that opened the eyes of the blind. Those hands that worked so many miracles. But it was these hands. And I speak it with much reverence. that were to be nailed to Calvary's tree. And you know, after the resurrection, there's a beautiful word that he spoke to his dear disciples. And we read it that when he showed them after he was risen from the grave, the tomb, his hands and his feet. And what was the effect on the disciples? They were glad when they saw the Lord as he shows them these blessed hands. Because all their hope was in him. Where's yours and mine tonight? All our salvation's in him. And you see, as they viewed, no doubt like Thomas did, the blessed hands of the dear Redeemer, what was the effect on them? They were humbled and melted. That he should endure the agonies that he endured to redeem their souls. You know, it's a very humbling place to view the pierced hands and side and feet of the dear Lord Jesus. Thomas could say, couldn't he, from a very soft heart, "My Lord and my God." Well, may the Holy Spirit, I've only scratched the surface. You think as we come down to the valley of death, oh, to fall into the hands of the Lord, into his arms. One said in the hymn, and might be of encouragement to your soul and mine tonight, "When thy eye of faith is dim, rest thou on Jesus, sink or swim. Fall into his hands outright." Amen.
God willing, Mr. Warren will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Sayers next Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1013. There is a family on earth whose father fills a throne, but though a seed of heavenly birth, to men they're little known. Hymn 1013.
Dear Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts to bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that abides. Help us each to leave all that we have in thy blessed hands. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.